Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the gyps in the BC. It is Saturday.
Little teaser there.
Yep. Yeah, but we know a lot of folks have missed Nick's voice, so we figured we'd throw that in there. As he's posted on Facebook, he's doing good. He's recovering, and hopefully he'll be back soon with us. But for right now, I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And I want to remind you folks, you can. I noticed all of a sudden the banks are filled right on up with callers, so we will get to you in a minute or two. But I want to remind you, you can reach us at 966-5299.
Oh, your mic isn't on. That's why I can't hear
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you know, it's...
Oh, I thought it was.
Hey, there he is.
That's why I can't hear you in my headphones.
He was out in the hallway. He just popped in.
Start over.
Yes, I'd like to remind you folks, you can give us a call. We got a full bank of phone calls right now, and we will get to you in a few minutes, so be patient. The phone number here is 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And we will be taking your questions and hopefully come up with some great answers, even if we have to fudge it and make them up. We don't care. But we do.
We do. We try.
But as you, if you folks haven't noticed on Facebook, Nick did post there. He is doing well. He is going through rehab.
Yep.
And it's a slow process.
No
I
doubt.
Mean, as we get older, you know, we tend to slow down. That's why I was out last week. I sort of had a hiccup and told the wife I was bored, so that's why I had another heart attack and decided to take some time off. So she goes, it's a heck of a way to get out of doing the show. But just like Nick, you know, hey, we take time a little bit longer to heal, but we're all doing it, and we're back to take your questions and everything else. And how are you gentlemen doing?
So far, so good. You know, I'm enjoying this sort of break in the super hot weather. And the gentle, cool evening breezes have been really nice. Got together with family last night and got to see a bunch of people I haven't seen in a few weeks. So it was really a good time.
One thing I noticed in my neighborhood, and I haven't seen it, oh, heck, in a lot of years, I'll just put it that way, is fireflies.
True, true.
The wife and I were sitting out on the porch last night. And, you know, we had seen them during the week, but she goes, I wonder if they're going to come out. Now, did she say that? Your words come out of her mouth and not 2 feet away from her face. This one came and lit up right in front of her. She goes, yep, they're there.
Okay.
And they were flying all over the place. Of course, there were some kids next door.
Sure.
They were going around like we used to as kids, trying to catch them and put them in jars.
Put them in a mason jar.
Yeah.
Make sure to put some holes in the lid, of course.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're fun. It's the simple joys of summertime life when you're young that you get to engage in something that's, you know, not plugged in and disconnected, but hyper local, you know, and hyper local fun with your friends or your siblings or your cousins. It's always a strong memory of summer for me.
Yeah, and you know, chasing fireflies at night, and we always used to go camping in the summers when I was a kid, and we'd have one of those Coleman lanterns hanging up in a tree.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a very clear demarcation zone between light and not light.
Okay.
And you could stand like a foot away, and no one could see you on the other side because it was
just
so dark in the campground.
Amazing.
All right. Well, tell you what, let's get right to the phone since folks are anxious in calling us. We got Dan in Brighton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Doing great.
Great. Well, the air show's in town this weekend, and I was wondering if you happen to know which app I could use to listen to the Air Boss and the frequency.
Good
of
question.
The Air Boss.
Not offhand. It might be on their website.
Yeah.
I know the regular ATC frequencies are on the airport website, but I'm sure they have a separate channel for the Airbus.
Channel, yeah.
My and the other thing I wonder is, are those even public? I mean, do they publish those, or are they encrypted?
It's public radio, so.
Well.
If you know the frequency, you can listen in.
Yeah, well, can listen, just like BBC and these other short waves and everything else.
Oh.
You just can't. You'd have to have.
I was thinking of the Thunderbird stuff, but.
Yeah, no, you'd have to have a transmitter in your possession that you could talk over that particular frequency.
Sure.
My ham rigs, they are set up for limitations within band scopes. If I go dial it, I could come down to this channel, put it on, and I can listen to Jazz 90.1 on my ham radio, dial in the frequency, no problem. It can hit it. It's just that's all I can do is listen.
A lot of times I know at the air shows they have a sign on the way into the air show of what the frequency is.
According to radioreference.com, at air shows in the United States, so it's updated September 3rd, the AirBoss is either at frequency 123.1 or 123.3. And that's AM, and tone is CSQ, and type is BM on that one.
And what app would I use to listen to that?
Very good question.
Well, you need an app that can pick up any radio frequency. So, you probably can't, because that's a radio frequency, not an internet.
What you can do is there is what they call SDR. And SDR,
software defined radio.
Yeah. And what you can do is with the SDR is literally tune in to any particular frequency on your PC and listen. And I'm not sure. I don't see why you couldn't do it on your phone.
Well, you have to have an app that can do any frequency, not just the regular radio station.
Right, stations. And SDR dongles, and that people run those all the time, so they can listen to the various things across the spectrum.
I'm good looking this up here. There's several different. Some radio stations will do a live simulcast. I'm looking up. There is a place called Airshow Radio.
There's a YouTube channel called Airshow Stuff. I wonder if they're here.
The Airshow 20.
Would that be considered shortwave, Dave?
Yeah.
120 megahertz?
Mm-hmm.
So there are several shortwave apps. MyTuner Radio, WTWW Shortwave, SkyWave Schedule. So I just Googled shortwave radio apps.
Are you going to the air show or just wanting to listen?
I just want to listen.
Yeah. Like I say, if you've got a PC, do a search on SDRs, and you can, it'll give you a whole list of stations that have the SDRs set up, and you can tune in to any one of those frequencies.
I wonder if they don't publish it because they don't want you to listen to it without going and buying a ticket. And so when you get to the show, then you can listen to it at the show, because that's where they publish it.
Yeah, I'm not getting any straight answers out of Google, but if there's anybody who's listening who happens to know more about this than either of us.
Been to the air show previously and knows what we're talking about, please give us a call.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we don't have a concrete answer for you, Dan.
I would say, look for websites that are streaming ATC in general, and see if you can cross-reference those with the air show.
Streaming what?
They stream the air traffic control.
Air traffic, okay, air traffic control.
Yep.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Liveatc.net will let you stream airport frequencies. Looks like 121.1 is the Dublin approach frequency.
Well, they may reuse it from place to place.
when you're in different
Ranges.
Areas. Yeah.
Well, I hope that helps you, Dan.
Give it a shot.
Thank you. I appreciate you looking it up for me.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay. Bye.
So Rochester's regular approach frequency is 119.5 and 123.7.
Okay.
Roger, where are you coming from?
But the AirBoss would be on a different frequency than ATC.
Right. Yeah.
So while an air show performer is running, ATC is closed basically for takeoffs and landings. So the planes are just communicating amongst each other until there's a opening for someone to land if they wanted to.
Right. Well, maybe some of our other callers have more info.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. We got Roger from Greece. Go ahead, Roger.
Hi. I've been bookmarking websites that I've been to for years, and I always had a list. I could pull up a list of things that I had looked at both recently and in the past. A week ago, I was on. I'm not sure what I did, but I think I had, you know, clicked, tried to download or bookmark a site that I was currently on.
Okay.
And the icon, which was in the top row on the screen, it was on the right-hand side, the icon disappeared. And since then, if I click on the star to bookmark something and I click save, it doesn't save, or at least I can't find it. And I don't know what I did, and I'd like to get that feature back.
What browser are you using?
Firefox.
Did you ever back up your Firefox profile data? Because you may have to go back to a restore point.
I have not bookmarked it recently.
Okay. So you mentioned that you were saving things, and then something disappeared. Was that the icon that represents the sites that you were saving, the favicon, or is that the button to perform the operation of saving the bookmark? Which one?
It was a an icon to take me to recently saved sites.
Okay.
I still have, on the second line down over on the right-hand end, I have a double right arrow, and then next to that, another one that says other bookmarks.
Right.
I can click on those and bring up things from the past, but I can't, I've left that icon on the line above that let me bring up recently bookmarked items.
That should be in the bookmark menu.
Yeah,
to go to manage bookmarks.
That would be the place to go.
Okay, where is manage bookmarks? How do I get there?
It should be in the bookmarks menu.
In the bookmarks menu, it should be the first listing.
Are you on Mac or Windows by any chance?
I'm on Windows.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the first book. On the Mac, it's the first menu item in the bookmarks menu. I'm not sure about Windows. I don't have that in
there
front of
should
me.
Be a bookmarks menu in Windows also.
Okay. I just went to the one of the saved bookmarks lists. I'm scrolling to the top of that to see.
No, the bookmarks menu itself. There's a file, edit, view, history, bookmarks, tools menu in the menu bar.
That's the one to look for. Are you able to find that one?
No. What menu? Where is the menu bar?
At the top of the window. All the menus are always at the top of the window.
It usually consists of some words.
Yeah, the menu bar usually say file and...
Yeah, file, edit, view are usually the first three
and tools.
Menus. Yeah. I did find a tech note from Firefox on recovering lost or missing bookmarks. I'm going to post that one in a second as well.
And you'll be able to see that at the soundbites.org webpage. There's a listing there for things that we talk about on the show. And that will be a place you can go to learn more about how to find the saved bookmarks and how to investigate and manage those.
Okay, very good. I will look for that.
Very good.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for
good
calling.
Luck.
Yeah, usually after years of collecting bookmarks, you have so many of them you can't find the one you like. I always get annoyed that when you add a new bookmark, it goes to the end of the list. I wish it would go to the top of the list because that's the most recent one I added.
Yeah, you want to sort them by least recent.
Yeah, the most recent bookmark is at the bottom of this really, really long list.
Or they should at least give you an option where you could toggle how you want that list to appear.
Yeah.
That would be nice. It's the type of thing where, you know, in the 90s when the web was brand new, we didn't...
there weren't that many pages.
There weren't that many pages. Search engines weren't as good or weren't as fast either. They took a long time. And it was common to go to a page, and then you had to remember the trail of links you clicked. It was like opening different doors in a hallway. You know, mm-hmm. You had to
turn left, turn right.
You had to remember. Down two aisles, okay, I scrolled left. Two down, and then I looked for the purple link because that was one I'd clicked before. And you'd make bookmarks, and you'd end up with this giant list. And basically, that's what Yahoo was mm-hmm. at the beginning. It was just an organized list of bookmarks, like a directory.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to see how much this has all progressed, of course. But we're beholden now. We have all these things that we want to save and be able to reference easily. And the bookmarks menu is a great way to do that. But, yeah, it's tricky to keep that manageable. So many neat things to find that you want to be able to find later.
In the Windows version of Firefox, it says to click the menu button.
Okay.
Then the bookmarks menu, then manage bookmarks.
Ah, okay.
So what is the menu button? That's probably the hamburger thing?
I guess. Yeah. The user interfaces in the last 10 years have been scrunched down to fit on tablets and on phones. And it means that, you know, we don't always have the interaction.
And they may hide the menu bar to give you more room for the web page.
Right, or to make the design look nice and clean, you know, less cluttered.
Yep. So there's a menu button normally in the upper right-hand corner, three horizontal lines.
Right.
And then a bookmarks command and a manage bookmarks command will show you all of the bookmarks you've ever saved.
What was interesting to me was when my kids were younger and still in school, I always wanted to know of the, you know, the Chromebooks and everything else, what do the teachers call that menu, or how do they refer to it? Some of them call it the hamburger.
Yep.
Some of them call it the sandwich. Some of them call it the hot dogs, because it looks like a package of hot dogs all lined up together.
Yeah.
And it's always food, and I don't know if they're just consistently hungry. There's another set of them that it's not a set of lines.
Or they tried to convey a message that the food in the cafeteria is great.
I don't know. My cafeteria food was always pretty good, and I think my kids in general appreciated it. But then sometimes they won't do the lines across. They'll do the dots. So you have horizontal dots, and they call those the meatballs. And then now I've heard if they're vertical, they call them the kebab.
Kebab.
So if you have other things that you like to call those menus, call in and let us know what you think.
Let us know. Yeah.
You can call us toll-free at 1-800-790-0415 or call us directly at the studio line, which is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can talk to us live and on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I have also found a tech note at Firefox on the bookmark button itself missing.
Okay.
They're blaming third-party extensions for removing it, and to start in safe mode, go to Appearance and bring it back.
Okay.
I'll publish this link, too.
That's a good idea. There are lots of ways to install third-party plugins that can manipulate the way that your web browser works, sometimes enhancing it.
And quite often, many of those claim to enhance the browsing experience, but they mean for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By tracking everything.
For you.
Yeah. Tracking everything
you're
do.
You're on your own.
Giving
you
more ads. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yes. It's a wonderful experience to transfer more dollars into my pocket. But we're trying to figure out what's next. You know, the air show, talking about the air show, as a kid, that was always something I got really excited about. I enjoyed seeing all types of different airplanes and especially the military stuff. That was something that I was really into. And I can remember seeing the Thunderbirds when I was, you know, 14 years old fly over, and it was all very exciting and so forth. And this was way before the internet, way before YouTube. And mm-hmm. now I've been able to go to YouTube and see, you know, in cockpit shots of what it looks like while they're performing all the maneuvers. And, you know, some of the maneuvers that they do in formation where they're just a few feet from each other, traveling at hundreds of miles an hour.
Well, we were on our way to the airport yesterday to pick up my grandson and stepson. And we got to see a free air show demonstration of them literally flying around and doing their maneuvers. You know, the one that I always like is where they'll have two jets face up and then the other two inverted.
Inverted, yeah.
And it's like, that's some massive skills.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's you have to be trust precisely what's going on. You have to have one person just flying and the others just keying off that person and maintaining the same distance and airspeed. It's a definite
Steve,
demonstration of skill.
You might know this one, though. Didn't a woman just join the team?
The Blue Angels have a couple of women. One of the lead pilots is a woman. I'm not sure the Thunderbirds. We were talking about that yesterday.
One of them did. But boy, yesterday, watching them come towards each other and then pull up and go straight up.
Yep.
From four different directions.
Incredible.
That was so cool. Everybody was, you know, along the expressway.
They pulled over.
Yeah, the Thunderbirds have a woman pilot, too.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
Okay.
Nicole Malachowski.
Malachowski, yeah.
Cool.
Because like I say, that takes...
code sign Mace.
All right.
Cool.
And she flies left wing solo.
Okay.
Mm. What's left wing solo?
The outer one on the left.
But she's not alone.
Often
solo,
does a solo.
Would mean there's nobody
else. There are some acrobatics that are performed solo.
There's the lead solo, there's the opposing solo, and then there's the left wing and the right wing. And oftentimes they do their own maneuvers separately.
Well, good thing we have Steve here.
Because I was not solo. You know, she's just out there flying around doing her own thing.
No.
They can fly alone as a solo, and then they do the six bird formation. Yeah. What's really neat?
The military is not known for letting people do its own thing.
You're preaching to the choir here.
That's not really part of their thing. You know,
There was an air show a few months ago that had the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds.
Oh,
At
the same show, and they did a 10 plane formation.
Wow,
and that was amazing. In fact, when we were in Florida in March. At Sun and Fun, the Blue Angels were there, mm-hmm. and the Thunderbirds were performing at Cocoa Beach Air Show.
Not far away.
And when they flew over Sun and Fun, they put smoke on and did a little teaser for us.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Actually, and they did that here. A lot of people were posting on, was it Wednesday, when the Blue Angels got here, that they did a couple of orbits and smoke on.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And did some high speed passes and then landed.
Well, it's fantastic. My house is right in the kind of the turning radius where they do a pass and then they come and turn. And it's not that far from, you know, Marketplace Mall. So if you need a place to check them out, then that can be. And you only have a few minutes. That can be a place to.
My
to
old
stop.
House when I was at Elmwood Avenue.
Okay,
we used to see them. We could sit out in our front lawn.
Yeah.
And see them going
just
flying
carving
around.
Carving the sky.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So there are a lot of road closures around the airport. So if you're planning on driving through Scottsville and Chala area mm-hmm. where the airport is, check the road closures.
Yeah. No, that could be.
Yeah, because they're trying to block it. Yeah. Don't need anything, you know, weird happening and that type of stuff nowadays.
Right.
I mean, the other day, I can remember my grandfather, back in the day, used to take me to the airport and we could sit at the end.
Yep, end of the runway.
And that one runway mm-hmm. and watch them take off all the time. And it was so much fun.
It's amazing because they come over my house and they're loud. You know, you have to interrupt your conversation. You can't even finish the conversation. But where I work is downtown and my office happens to be underground. So I can just hear just the faintest rumble while the people upstairs are, you know, looking out their windows and watching everything going on. It's an entirely different situation.
Yep. Okay, folks. That means a half hour has just flown right by. But hey, don't worry. We will be back very shortly with more sound bites with me, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Chris. So stay tuned and we'll be back shortly.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to the Saturday edition of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And tell you what, we'll go right on to the phones. We've got Dan in Churchville. Go ahead, Dan.
It's Don, but that's okay.
Hello, Don. Sorry.
My Wi-Fi is not connecting anymore. I got an iPhone and a tablet.
Okay.
it's not connecting. And I try the usual reboot everything, and then it will come up and says wrong password, but I know it's the right password. So I don't understand what's going on. Any ideas about that?
On your devices.
I've seen that happen to me, and it's annoying when I know that's the right password because I just typed it in. I just created it in the Wi-Fi router.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I'm the one that made it.
Yeah.
What I often do, at least on my phone and my tablet, is I go into the Wi-Fi area, and there's usually a way to forget the network, tell the device to forget the network, and then I reintroduce it, and I let it discover networks, and then I pick the one that happens to be mine, and I supply the password. Is that something you've tried already?
I'm not sure. I might have. It's been over a week now or something like that. I could retry that again. I think I maybe did that, but I'm not positive. Come think of it. So.
Yeah, that's kind of the first step. And then then there's a reset network settings.
Yes.
That erases all passwords.
Yeah.
And you have to type them all in again.
Yeah. Network ones.
Network passwords, yeah, which is annoying if,
if you visit a bunch of places and want to be able to connect automatically, that can be annoying. Right. But, generally if at the point where you are describing is the point where I generally go to the Wi-Fi, check for the list of networks, and usually it's at the bottom. There's a forget all networks.
Tap.
Okay.
Well,
to
do that one network, you tap the little I next to that network name.
Right.
And you can say forget this network.
Yes.
Right. Do Wi-Fi units go bad? I mean, it's about 10 years old, I think.
They can, yes.
Well, yeah, they can. It's fairly fairly rare. The routers itself, I've seen
routers,
go those bad.
Yeah.
Those go bad
work
faster
or
than,
don't work.
And if it's 10 years old, it may only be G, not even
AC.
Right, yeah. Well, they've went back and renumbered them now. So
yes.
What G was 4, AC was 5, AX is 6.
I've got a graphic for that. I should send it to you so
you
can post it.
You may be running an older, slower version of Wi-Fi, and a new router would give you much faster Wi-Fi, especially with today's typical internet speeds of minimum 100 megabit here in town, and most people have faster than
300
that.
300 or 500,
But it still should work, you would think.
I would start with find the network listing on the devices. Tap the little get more info button on that line and see if there's an option to forget this particular network, and then try and re-add it.
And after he says forget it, shut down, restart.
Yeah. Sure.
So it takes it right out of memory, and then try to reconnect.
Okay. All right. I'll try that.
All right, Don. Give it a shot and let us know how it goes.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
And I just found a link on several steps to try, and pretty much everything we talked about is in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was at a conference a few weeks ago, and there's one guy there who's very famous for always giving the Wi-Fi talk at this conference. And he had a wonderful slide that I immediately took my phone out and took a picture of the PowerPoint slide he had projected on the wall, because it it listed all the Wi-Fi 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and what each of them meant, and the details of each one and what made them better than the previous. So I'm going to try and find that, and I'll send it off to Steve to post to the website.
Airdrop it to me.
I will. It's handy. All right. Dave's finding yet another caller here for our listing enjoyment today.
All right. We got Jim from Rochester. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello. I have a laptop with a Windows 11 on it, and when I try to take a folder and I want to try to drag and drop it into a particular folder.
Mm-hmm.
When I release the mouse, it doesn't automatically add it. I've got to make another extra click. Is that something peculiar to Windows 11? And even when I circle something, when I outline something and try to move it, it needs that extra click after I release the mouse button.
That sounds like a mouse function.
Yeah,
double click on things.
Mouse preference function.
Yeah, mouse preference.
Traditionally, a lot of people have had trouble with drag and drop, where you got to hold the button down while you move the mouse. So some mice have a if you click and hold, it turns on drag, and then you don't have to hold the mouse through the whole dragging process, click again to release it. So you may want to look in your mouse or trackpad settings in the settings app.
Okay.
Yep. And maybe just something new.
I go into systems and then find a mouse.
Yeah. Search for the mouse settings.
Mouse settings.
And it might be under an advanced or...
Yeah,
or,
go into control panel and you'll see mouse settings. And in there you can, change. One other thing I did find that if you... this is for Windows users because, you know, I use a laptop when I'm out on the road and that. And, you know, if there's any glare or that, I was losing the mouse very easy, not seeing it fly around on the screen. So what I discovered is if I clicked on my little Windows menu thing and said settings, and it opened up the screen, and I wound up going to pointers and mouse. And then over on the right-hand side says adjust mouse pointer and size.
Yep.
So I went in there and made the mouse actually, I think I wound up setting it like on a 4 or 5. And it made it nice and big and a thicker outline. Mm-hmm. So now when I travel around on the screen and it can be bright light and I can still see it moving around on the screen a lot easier.
Yeah, I've done that. I've changed the color to black.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll
give it a shot.
I see what I can find.
There you go.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
You can also right drag, and then when you release the right mouse button, it will say copy here, move here, create shortcut here.
That's true.
But that may need an extra click too, depending on what the mouse settings are.
Oh, I ran into one. I won't say it's a scam.
Okay. But it's a scam.
But it's deceiving software practices is the way I'll label this. And what I'm referring to is my friend signed up for AVG.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They just got hit by the huge fine for doing this.
Well, if it's the same thing what I'm talking about is... They, want you to sign up for their or try out their protective, their advanced services and all that. What you do, and if you don't read the fine print,
right?
What you're doing is once you go ahead and sign up for these advanced services, and then they say, "Oh, it's going to run out." After a couple of days, what happens is all of a sudden it auto renews. Uh-huh. It'll hit your bank account. For $107.99, and then a monthly $32 fee for AVG Pro.
Oh boy!
So he had to call them and say, "No, I don't want it." And of course, they gave him a song dance routine. I says, "Well, I told you they're going to be like that, and you just got to be assistant. You don't want it." Matter of fact, tell them you're using some other product, Norton or McAfee.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And he said, but it took
a fine print, man. It'll get you.
He said it took a good 20 minutes to hear them going through their spiel to, opt out of it. But, they finally did. But just their practice that if you are signing up for this, they say free trial. Because if you look at all the fine print, is if you don't get back to them, they automatically renew that service and start charging you.
Right.
And that's pretty common on a lot of subscription services. You have to give them your credit card number when you sign up for the free trial because they're hoping you forget and they can get at least 1 month out of you.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
I try to be really careful with those.
But luckily, he caught it and they reversed it for him, but... Yeah, he was in a panic. He goes, they're going to keep hitting my account for 30. No. Call them up. I did a little investigating.
Okay.
Because here's the other thing. It didn't say AVG.
Oh, what did it say?
Drive. What was it? Drive.
Maybe it wasn't even AVG.
Yeah, it was.
Well, so AVG bought Avast or Avast bought AVG, one way or the other, and they're Gen Digital is now the parent company.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So Avast bought AVG, and then Gen Digital is now the parent company of them all, based in Prague.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find the link, but the EU just fined them a ton of money for basically that kind of thing, deceptive practices.
Yeah.
And the other one was collecting data without telling the users.
Oh.
So a violation of the GDPR.
Yeah. Well, this guy didn't have a clue, and I wound up doing the detective work for him and found out I got a hold of this one, the company that he said was the company.
Right.
And so I got a hold of them, and they said, oh, no, well, it's not us. It's we're just a service that do it for.
A lot of small.
And this one is AVG, yep. And they gave me the person at this place that
DigitalOcean. They're a really popular e-commerce platform that companies use.
Yeah, I forget the name of it. But anyways, the person on the phone was fantastic. They said, no, you got to call AVG. Gave me the phone number.
Wow.
And the account number.
Mm-hmm.
I said, thank you so much.
So I wound up giving that to him, and he got it resolved.
Cool.
Yep.
But yeah, a lot of software that has free trials.
Yeah,
you typically need to put in your credit card number, so at the end of the trial, it will continue.
Right.
So when you sign up for a free trial, the other thing too I've seen is that trials are getting shorter. It's a 7-day trial, not a 30-day trial.
It's a 4-day trial. It's a long weekend.
So put a reminder in your phone to either cancel that service in 7 days, or decide if you want to keep it or not.
Right.
I'm running into the same fight now with YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. My credit card expired, so they couldn't charge my new month. So I put the new credit card in. They charged me twice.
Okay.
Oh.
One for the 1 month they didn't, and one for the new one?
I'm guessing.
I hope so.
And so I've got a dispute with Google, and give me my money back. I'll pay you again next month, but you don't need to take 2 months now.
Right.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch the Tour de France on streaming, and NBC's Peacock was the way to do that, and the price was high enough every month that I was happy that the Tour de France only goes during July, so I could I could pay the 1 month and watch it and then cancel. But I had to put something in my phone, just like you were talking about, to get it turned off.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phones. We got Tom from Brighton. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, whatever it is.
Afternoon, sir.
Whatever. Yeah. Happy to see you.
So, YouTube has some great videos that show you how to do almost anything these days, whether it's working on your computer, learning a computer language, working on your lawnmower, fixing your garage door opener, it's an infinite number of things, and many of them are great.
Yeah.
The problem is getting to the ones that are great, because it seems everyone wants to be a professor, and show how well they can fix their lawnmower or repair their lawn.
And it takes 20 minutes of intro to get to the bit I really needed to know.
Right.
Exactly. And so the trick is you want something available that will curate the YouTube videos for you. Find the really good ones. Mark them as being excellent.
Okay.
You can get right to the ones that are good. Is there anything like that available?
Let's see. There was a local company that was doing this for teachers. And I'm trying to remember the name of it. Todd, if you remember the name, give me a call or send me a text. But the curation, I think it really is so dependent upon the field that you're working in. So the guy who fixes the lawnmower really well is probably not the same as the person who fixes the blender in the kitchen really well.
And for every good person, there's probably 10 not-so-good persons.
What I would generally do is I would search for the model or the make or the type of thing you're looking for.
Yeah.
Then I would search based on the number of views. And alternatively, I would look at the creator and see how many subscribers that creator has.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to tell you who people find to me to be the most informative or entertaining about a particular thing.
And the better you make your search, the better it will narrow things down. So don't just look for lawnmower repair. Look for John Deere Sabre model XYZ43.
Right. Or don't look for car repair. Look for Pontiac Fiero 1987.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's certainly what narrowed it down. Even then, I find there's just so many people who just want to indulge themselves and get a little 5 minutes of fame to get on the air, so to speak.
Yeah,
true.
I really like the videos that have chapter markers.
Oh, yeah.
So
and
it'll say, so then you can
cruise along,
jump forward.
Especially if it's an hour-long video, they break it up in segments. Well, if you want to learn about this part, click here, on that time stamp.
Yes. Yep.
And now I've started
noticing Google is doing that too, that they will show the timestamp, you know, here at 3 minutes and 47 seconds is where your answer is starting.
That's interesting.
That would be very useful.
Yeah, really.
I would always, I think there's something called the Wadsworth constant, and the Wadsworth constant is generally 30%. So the Wadsworth constant is something you can apply to your YouTube videos. And in fact, I think they've even got a feature for this. It's kind of a joke Easter egg feature that automatically starts playing the YouTube video at 30% in. So it's after the, hey guys, welcome to my channel.
Yeah.
I'm back, coming back at you with another video.
And if you like it, subscribe and click and on that, the button fluff. Down below.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, be sure to tell me in the comments what you had for breakfast. And
there's a million of those. It's
yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, the Wadsworth constant says, you know, click 30% in. That's where they're actually going to start getting to anything you likely care about.
Where did Wadsworth come from?
Is it the optics prism mirror system? The Wadsworth constant deviation?
I'm investigating now.
Okay.
There's too many Wadsworths.
I'm going to have to. You may have to keep listening to hear that while I investigate this.
Okay. This is what happens on YouTube all the time.
Yeah. Rat hole.
Yeah, right after these five commercials.
Yeah. We'll get right back to you, so
here it is
stay
on Know Your Meme. It came from Reddit in 2011.
Okay.
So it was, so the Redditor's name was Wadsworth.
Oh, okay. So the
so it's not the mathematical Wadsworth concept.
Different guy.
Yeah.
Different person. So it was just a person on the internet that said, you know, it seems like every time I go to a video, I have to fast forward 30% in order to get to the right stuff.
So this has been going on for over 11 or 12 years already.
Yeah.
Probably since YouTube started.
Yeah. No, that's people that want to be seen and talk to the rest of the planet.
Okay. Well, great show, guys. Thanks very much.
All thanks. Right.
Have a great one.
You too. Bye.
Yeah, finding quality content.
So now there's YouTube videos explaining the Wadsworth constant.
Of course.
So you have to start 30% of those?
Hey, guys, welcome back. Today we're going to talk about the Wadsworth constant. But first, I want to talk about my breakfast. I got extra bacon today. it's tricky to find good quality sources of information. And I think that's... especially with AI able to produce information way faster than people are able to consume it, that's likely to be a problem getting even larger moving into the future. But yeah, generally looking for if people are giving a significant amount of thumbs up, which is the YouTube mechanism by which you vote and say that this is a quality video. Or looking at the popularity of the producer or the popularity of the video itself is most likely to be the best indicator that we have at the moment. But doing a precise search can really help weed out all of the extraneous stuff.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We got Bert from Palmyra. Go ahead, Bert.
Are you there, Bert? Hey, Bert.
Hold on. You there, Bert?
Yep, I am.
There he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it took a while for our little box here to move you over.
What's going on, Bert?
Okay, no problem. Hello. Been out of touch with you guys for quite a while here.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Yeah, I re-upped the card-carrying membership last week.
Sweet, thank you.
We like that.
For the newsletter, the whole nine yards. But I'm looking for your recommendation. I've lost track of time, as I said, for who you were recommending for doing some work on a couple of computers.
We would suggest going to the Yellow Pages.
Yep. Okay.
There is a number of local repair shops. Steve's one of them if it's a Mac. But as far as the PC side, like I say, I would definitely do... your homework, check out the various sites and go to their web pages and read the reviews.
A lot of the big sites, well, the number of repair shops has kind of dwindled recently.
Yeah,
it's
drastically reduced because the sad fact is that's why I got out of it is because, one, people aren't buying. You don't go in the store anymore and see the big boxes.
Yeah,
everybody's buying either a laptop or a tablet or doing it on their phone. Because, and to take a laptop apart and repair that, it ain't happening for the most part.
You can also check the Yelp reviews for local shops and see what other people like you have experienced. And, you know, don't be afraid to give the shop a call themselves and just say, hey, here's what I'm looking to do.
What would you charge?
And see how you feel when you get done talking with them.
Or ask them, you know, typical question. What is your issue, though?
Issues is I've gotten lazy, and I want the hard drives on these two units reformatted completely.
Okay.
And I'm quitting playing with multiple, you know, booting two and three
operating systems. Sure.
Right. And I've picked one that I want to use across the board.
What are you going to use?
Okay.
What are you going to use just for Detroit?
Dev one.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Say again.
Devuan.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that.
A branch of Debian that back when they had that revolution over SysV in it.
Well, why don't you just make yourself a bootable, say, USB drive from that and let it format the whole drive?
That'd be one way. But
and set up fresh.
There is a...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So there's a popular program called D-Band, Derek's Bootin'Nuke.
Yeah.
That you download, put it on the flash drive, boot it, and then it will nuke your drive of all data that's on it.
Of the data. The drive will be fine, but the data will go away. But if you want a local shop to do that, I would make that the question you ask them.
Yeah, but if he's done I take it you have loaded these operating systems yourself?
Yeah, but quite a while ago.
If anything, it's gotten easier that you can download images now and burn it, you know, take a utility like Fetch It, and it'll move it to a USB bootable drive so that when you shut it down, you put it into the USB drive, have it go to that, and it'll wipe the drive out and put in whatever Linux system you want.
Right.
We've been talking about that, matter of fact, for the past few months, how more and more folks are going to various versions of Linux because it's gotten so easy to install, and you can have it look like whether you're used to a Windows unit or a Mac.
Yeah, where I run into trouble is I do have the OS I want on a thumb drive, and I booted into it live, you know, and looked around, and I've started the install process, and I'm not familiar enough with the new stuff about EFI versus UEFI and a couple other things about formatting that I figured I better move to someone with a little more experience.
Yeah, I don't know, though, if you're going to get it for Linux. A lot of repair shops stick to either PC or Mac. There's not a lot of them around that do Linux.
That's why.
You're going to have to do your homework. You're going to have to do your homework and find out the ones that will actually do it. We got to go right now, but thanks for calling.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
All right. We're coming up at the end of the first hour of Soundbites, and I want to take this time to thank all the folks that did call. But, hey, don't worry. We still got another hour that we can take your questions and hopefully come up with the answers as we can look stuff up because we are live here and doing it on the air. So don't go too far. Take a quick bio break, as Nick would say. But we will be back in just a short little bit with more sound bites here at Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Facebook at Jazz 901 FM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday,
August 12th, Anno Domini 2023.
And just for you folks that were missing Nick's great vocal rendition of opening the show, he, as you we said in the first hour, is recouping, and he has posted on Facebook, so look him up and...
Yep,
you know, you send your thoughts in the comments and everything else. He's there, and flood him with those things. But I'm with the show. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we are here at Soundbites for this edition, kind of chugging along without Nick, doing our best. But like I said, he will be back soon. So, you know, pick up the phones. Give us a call. Area code 585-966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 with your questions, and we will get you on the air.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we're answering questions for free.
Yeah.
All for the next hour. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you've got going on, what you're doing, what you've, or if you've gotten an answer from us before and tried it and it worked, come and tell us about it. Or if you tried it and it didn't work, come tell us about that too. For the next chapter in the saga of Spectrum versus Worcester, I had some issues with my internet service. The Spectrum folks suggested swapping out the modem. I said okay. I went and fetched a modem from their local store. Came home and plugged it in. Same situation. So I called them back. I said hi. Same situation. I said okay. I had called them on a Friday after I got home from work. They said, okay, well, we could have somebody to your house tomorrow afternoon. And I said, wow, I wasn't expecting it to be that fast. So they did dutifully send someone out who investigated and brought out lots of measuring equipment for measuring signal strength and things like that. And they even grabbed a ladder and went up to the pole and quickly discovered that squirrels
Chewing away at it, yep.
Had chewed or rubbed.
Nick has that issue. At least every other year, had to have his changed because of squirrels.
They ran an entirely new piece of coax from the pole to my house.
Did they take down the old one?
They did.
Oh, because I had it for a while there. I think I had three different strands going to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
those
it's
get
like,
heavy.
Finally, when I did, you know, cut the cord and did away with it. I had three of those.
Okay.
And I must have had at least, and this is no lie, six phone lines.
Gee.
Going goodness. From the house to. One time a truck came down to pick up some stuff and he tore down two.
Uh-oh.
But at one point I had six. So once I cut the cord and I don't have a home phone, mm-hmm. I wound up clipping them all out.
Okay.
And all the stuff that came down, I set it out to the curb.
Yeah.
And I think somebody, you know.
Big pile of.
Yeah.
Copper.
Wire that's out there, and they were in heaven because, you know, the pickers came by and grabbed it for the metal.
Amazing.
But yeah, I mean, it was causing such a slope.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, if you don't mind, yeah, because I asked them if it was okay because they were coming through and putting up new power poles in our backyard.
Right.
They're doing 40-footers now.
Oh, really?
Because of the regulations. They're going around all over the city replacing the power poles because, or I should say telephone poles, to fit in with the new accommodations because, as everybody knows, the phone company is now finally going to fiber.
Mm.
And, you know, they're offering their internet service now, which is faster than the old DSL. Well, you got to make room on the pole for that. And Greenlight's going through there and Spectrum, you know, a number of them. So they needed more space. So that's why they're going through and changing out a lot of that.
We had a problem a few months ago after one of the storms. The Frontier telephone line attached to our house started coming down and was drooping into the driveway and almost hitting the ground. but we're not Frontier customers anymore. So when we try calling tech support and tell them the line's down, they wouldn't talk to us because we're not a customer. So, all right. So when we run it over with a lawnmower and it messes up someone else's phone, then you'll come?
Yeesh.
Yeah, I just went there with a pair of wire cutters and trimmed it all off the side of my house. And it was like, whoa, that's kind of nice. Yep.
Now, I was at a customer house the other day, and he was reporting that his Wi-Fi was going down because he lost touch with the internet. So I'm looking at the Wi-Fi status, and the Wi-Fi router is saying no internet, no internet, no internet. And then like 5 minutes later, it comes back. And then 20 minutes later, it goes away. And 5 minutes later, it comes back. So it's not your Wi-Fi, it's your internet service. So I go down in the basement and find his cable modem.
Yeah.
And it is an ancient cable modem. I said, when was the last time you had this replaced? Oh, it's new with the house, I think.
Came with the house.
Yeah. So we get on the phone to call Spectrum to set up a service call to get a new modem. And I log into his Spectrum online account. And there's a big note saying, we notice you have a problem. Click here to schedule an appointment. Okay, why didn't you call and say that? Nice that they did. So we hung up the phone and just scheduled it online on the internet. While the internet worked for that 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So that's always a big problem we run into. When, you know, someone calls, I can't get on the internet. Well, is it your computer? Is it your Wi-Fi? Mm-hmm. Is it the internet router box?
Right.
Or
service coming into the house in my case, you know.
Yeah.
Everything inside the house was fine. I probably didn't really need the equipment from Spectrum.
Yeah.
I could have continued to use my own. When I use my own, I can see the different channels, all the different streams that it's using, and what the frequency and signal to noise ratio is. But with the new one from Spectrum itself, all that stuff is locked down, of course. And that's
a lot of times you can log in and see them.
I have not been able to. I definitely can with my Motorola.
I've done it with Aeris, the Aeris routers, and
the new one. Technicolor.
Technicolor is making cable modems now.
Same company?
I think so.
Hmm. Okay.
But
they've pivoted. Apparently.
Yeah, maybe maybe it is a different enough industry. Technicolor in movies versus Technicolor electronics, but Technicolor doesn't even make sense for an internet infrastructure modem internet company.
Yeah.
The trick is finding the modem's internal address.
Yeah.
So if you look, if your IP range is 192.168.1.1, that could be the address. What I found a lot of Spectrum routers, the router's address is 192.168.100.1.
Yes.
100.1.
And that's what I was able to do with my Motorola.
And without having a login password, you can see the user level stuff and see settings, but not change anything without an admin password.
Right. Well, and that's that's what Spectrum wanted. They wanted to be able to flash the thing with their own firmware to do that. So
it's nice too. You want your cable modem to have the latest security patches.
Sure.
That's how bad guys get into your network.
Yep. No, it's true. They supplied that. They swapped the line out, and now everything is precisely where it ought to be. So that's been wonderful.
I heard from a couple of cable technicians complaining about the last guy didn't do it right.
Oh, yeah, you hear that a lot.
Yeah. One of the times, it might have been Nick, had said that, his squirrel problem every year.
Uh-huh.
The guy didn't replace the whole line from the pole to the house. Because that's a lot more work.
Okay.
And part of the problem is a lot of these technicians are overbooked. So you've got that 4 hour window of booking time.
Right.
In fact, we saw when I booked that appointment with Time Warner, it was a 1 hour window, which is nice as a customer, but that means the technician has to finish your job in an hour. So you can get to the next, get done and finish to the next job in less than an hour.
Yep.
And oftentimes I can't run the whole line because that's going to take 3 hours and I've only got 1 hour for you.
Yep. Oh, one other thing, thanks to computers. And that, and the modern technology that's coming through, and I don't know if you've guys experienced it yet, but I had a gentleman show up to the house, I think it was Wednesday.
Okay.
And from RG&E.
Okay.
and they are now putting on the new meters.
Oh, yeah.
And the meters, everybody, I'm sure, is used to having to go down and read the meters.
Yeah.
And then send the card in or call it in or whatever.
For gas, yeah.
Don't have to anymore.
It's going to be Wi-Fi now.
Yeah. Yep. They're literally, they just put in 2 meters that now all I have to do is at the beginning, you know, whenever they schedule the read,
uh-huh.
I can go online, see what my monthly bill is, and boom. No more filling out the cards.
No more calling it in.
No more calling it in. They just, it automatically is uploaded to
amazing.
The internet. And
I've been doing the internet reading, gas meter readings,
yeah.
Our gas
yeah.
meter.
Sure.
And 1 month I missed it. And so they put a card on my door, you know, it's time okay. to read your gas meter. And I'm saying, okay, go around the corner. There's the meter. You could have read the meter while you were putting the card on my door.
Yours is on the outside?
Yeah, my gas meter's outside.
Okay.
The water meter's inside. The yeah. electric meter is outside, but it's behind some trees. So that's, in fact, electric and water already have remote
sensing
where I am.
Yeah, my water had it for the longest
right.
time.
The gas doesn't.
Okay.
My gas meter, the first digit wrapped around.
Uh-huh.
So I was at 9,000 cubic feet.
Sure.
And now I'm only at 1,000 cubic feet.
Okay.
Because my meter wrapped around.
It's like the old cars that didn't have 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
You'd flip back.
It's only got 4 digits. So last month my reading was 90-something or other. This month my reading is 0, 100-something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he only changed the electric meter. I wonder what they're going to do for the gas.
Oh, they came and did the gas at my house a few weeks ago. And my wife said they were in and out in 15 minutes, start to finish. It was super fast, but yeah.
Okay. Well, they're probably going to do it because I'm scared. They did the, because I've got 2 meters.
Okay.
One on the outside for the garage. That's got its own power. And then the house, they're coming on the 28th.
Okay.
To do the house. So I'm hoping they do the gas, too.
Yeah. No, that would be good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Amazing. It's a wonderful world we live in that we can do that.
Well, I've read some interesting stories about neighbors using too much water because
okay.
The meter reading, you know, the house next door
yeah.
was tied into the same a pipe that your meter was, and
weird.
Yeah,
I've been checking out the items that you can put in your breaker box that will tell you which of
yeah.
your breakers is using electricity and how much, so you can get a sense of if you've got devices using more electricity than you figured, and
yeah.
you get a sense of how to best and most efficiently rearrange how things are wired or which devices need to be adjusted.
Yeah.
Neat stuff.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. We've got Gary from Rochester. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello. What I was calling about is that, and I wonder if your other listeners, if it's happened to them, I do use Malwarebytes, the paid edition.
Okay.
And in my email, I've been getting on a regular basis a quotes report on your malware or on your Malwarebytes app. And I go through it, and it looks very legitimate. It talks about the number of detections they have of malware and attacks on my system and so on. And then it gets to near the end. There's a screen that comes up that says, would you like Malwarebytes to check to see if your email address has been stolen or hacked or is appearing somewhere else. And then at the very end they asked for your email address, and I thought, uh-oh, I got this in an email. How could they possibly be asking that? And I wondered if it was a very, very legitimate-looking thing that I was getting in my email that mimicked a Malwarebytes image and
okay.
gave this phony report only to get to the very end.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good that you're feeling vigilant.
Apprehensive.
Yeah. You can check the email. There's a few places to check to see, check the sender address, yeah. not just the name,
right.
and make sure it's really coming from malwarebytes.com. There are ways to hide that, but it's trickier. I'm looking now. I wouldn't be surprised if Malwarebytes is starting to add dark web scanning. I know quite a few of them have started to do things like that.
Right.
Yeah. And that, of course, would be an extra subscription.
Yes, mm-hmm. Of course. It's an extra, right. Yeah, extra but
they're
service.
They're mostly automated emails. So, and a lot of people have more than one email address. So if you right. want, if you want to sign up for this service, you have to proactively give them your email address for that service rather than the email address they already have for your primary service.
Okay. Well,
and one of the things I'm a little interested in is I've never seen an option to get email status reports from Malwarebytes.
Yeah, that's the part that was a little
strange.
Yeah,
that sounds...
Unless you're a subscriber, maybe?
Fishy.
Maybe if you're a paid subscriber, which I'm not.
Yeah, neither am I.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
And it's quite a wraparound package, and it obviously...
Supports multiple service and multiple computers.
Yes, and the other thing it is, has been recommended for years on the Security Tango,
mm-hmm.
and the local company that sold me the computer, and I do use their support from time to time, have one of their technicians come out if I'm really in a jam, and they say it's a great program, and they do recommend it to their customers, so I followed both recommendations. Well, I'll be apprehensive.
I see mm-hmm. that they have an additional program called Malwarebytes Privacy versus Malwarebytes Anti-Malware.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have a premium version and then privacy version, browser guard version, so that scans for websites.
Yes.
So that may be part of the additional services they're offering.
Yeah. Well, I think you're... I do have multiple emails, and although I only use one, and that might be a legitimate question if they want to know which one they're supposed mm-hmm. to be protecting. But
and if you do, if you don't want to subscribe to a new service, I would expect them to.
My attitude is: when in doubt, pitch it out.
Yes,
because if it is legitimate and you don't sign up at this time. Oh, gee, what? If it is legitimate, they'll be back to buggy again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if, they're just going around fishing to see what email addresses, if this is a scammer, they'll not bother you because, we didn't get a hit back from this one. So they just keep moving on. They get these lists and they just keep trying to fish for stuff.
Yeah.
I have also seen, are there any other company names on that? Because I've seen a lot of companies like, what's the one that scans for your social security number?
Something, privacy guard?
And the guy got in trouble for putting his social security number on a billboard and got hacked all the time.
Right.
Safe site?
Can't think of it.
Yeah, if you remember, call us.
So a lot of companies are kind of getting together and bundling their own services so that one company doesn't have to try to do everything themselves. And that's one thing we've always said about a lot of these big security companies is they try to be an antivirus and an anti-malware and an anti-pop-up and an anti-this,
and
anti-that.
VPN,
and they're not really good at any one thing because they're trying to do too many things.
Yeah.
LifeLock.
Oh, that's
LifeLock.
The one.
That is it. Yeah.
And I think Norton bought LifeLock, and now it's Norton LifeLock is one word. And so they bundle their AV stuff with their identity and theft protection.
Yeah.
But one of the things they've gotten in trouble for is overstating what they do, and as I said, the CEO put his social security number on their TV commercials,
right.
and he immediately had his identity stolen.
Yeah, of course.
Oh well.
Oops.
And then LifeLock was, we'll help you go to all of the other services and dispute
protect your identity.
Yeah, dispute any fraudulent credit card charges.
Well, you'd hate to get into that.
Yeah.
The best defense is a good offense, and pitch it, and when in doubt.
Most of the companies will call this dark web monitoring to see if your name shows up on the dark web.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can go to a website like Have I Been Pwned to see if your email address has been lost in a public breach, and that's pretty much all of us.
Right.
Especially after the Equifax breach, where every U.S. taxpayer had their email address exposed.
Mm-hmm.
That was awful.
Yeah. And their penalty was to get a new contract from the IRS.
Yeah.
Fun.
Well, they had to give everyone a year of identity protection.
Protection, yeah.
and that's the other thing, too. You don't need to pay for that because there's so many breaches. You get a free year of identity every time the breach comes out.
Once a year anyway, you'd be all right.
Yeah.
I know. Excellus did that and some other local outfits and...
Uh-huh.
And my bank got hit, so I got another free year. But who wants to go through all that?
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, thank you so much. Your other listeners who use malware bites might chime in. So many of your listeners are either professionals themselves or hobbyists or very skilled people, and they might have more ideas, too.
Yep. Okay, we got to keep moving
on.
We got our bank is filling up, and
thank
you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, yeah, it's tricky with the number of breaches that have happened. It's tricky to know what's going on, and when you get emails about it, it's tough to know what's legitimate and what's not. And the Have I Been Pwned website is a good one. Don't fall for the type your password in here, and we'll tell you if it's secure.
Yeah, really.
Although on his website, you can do that because it's all done locally. Steve Gibson has vetted.
Steve Gibson, yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of Steve, let's go to the phones, and it's Steve from Greece.
Hello, Steve.
Hello. How are you today, gentlemen?
I'm well, and you?
The side of the dirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a comment and a question for you.
All right. What would you like to start with?
The comment.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, I called because I'm doing a presentation for...
The authors.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, Lilac City Rochester Writers. And you suggested LinkedIn lessons so I could learn how to use Word for Mac.
Okay.
They have a free one-month trial, and it was very, very helpful.
Oh, good.
As usual, you guys, you were spot on and right there with good info.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Now, question. I'm doing some cleaning up, which, I hate doing, but I did it. I ran across 20 zip disks.
Yes.
I did some research, and they actually have some value.
Okay.
But obviously I don't have a zip drive, and I don't have a degausser.
Yeah.
How can I clean them up before I sell them?
Degaussers are actually very rough on hard drives.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were okay for VHS tapes. But they could damage the structure of computer disks, mm-hmm. So you wouldn't want to do that.
I don't have one anyway, so no problem.
Yeah. Well, if you intend to reuse them, you got to find someone with a zip drive. If you just
plan on selling them, actually.
Yeah. If you didn't care about them, and we're just going to recycle the, then you'd drill some holes through them.
Yeah. Take them apart, wreck them. I can do that.
Well, that's a great question.
Go on eBay and buy a cheap zip drive.
Yeah, yeah. go get the cheap zip drive, format all the disks, sell the whole thing as a set.
Ah, there you go. Now see more great information from Soundbites.
Yep, and the good news is they're popular with certain folks, especially retro hobbyists, but in general, they're not super popular with the general public, so you'll probably be able to get a really good price on the zip drive and get back out of it. Or when you sell it, you'll be able to get all your money back anyway.
They were only 100 meg capacity.
Yeah.
Which was huge when we had a 1 meg floppy disk.
Right.
And,
yes. But
and,
they were right in between the floppy disk and the USB drive in the era.
CD burning came out, and I remember we bought a 4X CD burner, which was several thousand dollars, too.
Right.
And were able to... take a lot of our customers in the ad industry who had big files. They had zip disks. They had SideQuest disks. Those were 40 megs.
Oh,
meg.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, 44.
So, we could take, what was it, 100 SideQuest and put it on one CD?
Yeah.
Because the CD was 700 megabytes.
Right.
That was huge.
Yeah.
And so that worked for quite a while.
Well, good luck.
Okay, thank you so very much. You guys have a good day.
You too, Steve. All right, as the music tells you, we're coming up on our last half hour, but hey, don't worry, we still got more to come here at Jazz 90.1 and this edition of Soundbite, so stay tuned.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And on the phones, we have Bob from Henrietta. Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon. I wouldn't be so encouraging about these new RG&E meters.
Okay.
These meters have the ability to remotely shut off your gas and electric.
Okay.
So if somebody, if they're having a, you know, if we have a hot spell and high demand load, well, if you're not on some list, you're likely to get shut off so they can save electricity.
Which list
they
would that be?
They their intentions by the smart meters, the smart thermostats they're offering for free. You can get a free smart thermostat as long as you let them control your AC settings.
Well, I got a free thermostat, and I don't have any AC.
Yeah, I looked into that, and it said you had to have central air and central heating. And
I do have central heating, but
I don't have central air, and so they wouldn't let me have one.
Interesting. I don't know what to tell. I was able to get one.
That's the point. They can't, if you've got window AC or something like that, they can't control it with their smart thermostat that they give you. But overall, that telegraphs their intentions with these smart meters, too. You know what they want. They want to be able to shut you off if somebody says, well, we don't think people should be using that much cooling or something like that. And it's not too hard to imagine the government twisting their arm on this.
Do you have any evidence for these claims?
Yeah, when I talked to RG&E about it, and they admitted that these devices can do that. They have the technical capability, so it's only a matter of time before it'll be used. Myself, I chose the opt-out option, which will cost me about $11.56 a month, but I figure that's better than helping them control the...
Well, then,
I'm not buying it.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was going to say, that would be... you do have the choice to not use their meters. You can go to a lot of different stores and get your own control... thermostat control, where you can control it from your smartphone, and then that way you during the day you can, with the smart app, pull it up, lower the temperature, raise it, do whatever you want, and take it out of their hands. So you do have a choice. And the smart meters are okay as far as what I was saying, and to make it clear to the listeners, is I was saying it makes it a little more convenient than having to go outside and read the meters all the time, once every other month.
I found it on their
website. Every month I've been doing it.
Yeah,
I don't have any problem with that.
So I found it on RG&E's website that if you sign up for this service, you allow them to make brief, limited temperature adjustments between May 1st and September 1st. 30th.
Yeah, right.
On days when summer electricity demand is at its highest, excluding holidays.
Well, that's why I say.
So, yeah. So you are agreeing to let them do that if you get their thermostat.
Yeah, right. And, but, you know, again.
But in terms of turning off your heat or turning off your cooling, no. They're adjusting the set point a few degrees, but they're not completely disabling the services.
The meters can shut your power off completely dead.
Yes, they can.
Well, they can do that if
they are the service that
they're
offering.
But the thing is, no, Bob, you got that wrong. If you don't pay your bill, that's when they're going to shut the service off.
Yes, but
and I'm sorry, if you don't pay your bill, they'll do that anyway.
Well, anything beyond that is conjecture.
I understand. His point is they have control of your meter, and they could shut it off anytime they wanted to without any notice or reason.
Right.
Sure.
Except for the Public Service Commission.
Right. The Public Service Commission will prevent them from doing that. The public outrage the first time they do it will prevent them from doing that.
Yes. Yeah. Political suicide. Yeah.
Ask yourself this. Is it also reasonable to ban gas stoves and so forth? Public's going along with that.
Okay, again, Bob, that's your opinion, and thanks for the call.
Yeah.
All right.
So there are dangers in gas stoves with gas leaking.
True.
So if you don't have gas running to your house, it can't leak.
That is true.
But I don't know. If you've got 20 or 30 gallons of combustible fuel in the car in your driveway.
Yeah. High energy density on that liquid.
Somebody I read somewhere that if someone tried to get the internal combustion engine patented and working today, you could never get gas stations approved because putting thousands of gallons of volatile fuel.
The size of a school bus. The size of a school bus.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We got...
maybe not.
We've got dial tone.
And electric cars were actually very
common
in the early days.
Yeah.
And when they got basically beaten out by cheap gas.
Right. I've seen the videos. Who is it? Jay Leno, who has a well-known large collection of cars, has a early 20th century electric car and was driving people around so that they could be on YouTube.
And he's got a couple of steam cars, too.
He's got steam. He's got one that's a Chrysler turbine car.
Yep.
That's actually got a turbine in it.
He's got a turbine motorcycle.
Okay.
It's a helicopter engine.
Yeah.
But he said it's upside down.
Oh.
So the bottom is flat, I guess, in a helicopter. So the top is flat where you put your
seat. Yeah, sit on it. Yeah.
And he's got a sign on the back of the bike saying 300 degree exhaust, keep back.
Yikes.
But he can see on his rear view camera, people are creeping up really close to read the sign.
Need bigger
and melting their plastic bumper guards.
That's not good.
All right, let's go back to phones. We got finally Sherry from Rochester. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi. I have a small issue, I think, with my modem and my router. Back in May, I lost internet connection or whatever. The guy finally came out 3 days later, and he ended up, after he tested all the lines and replaced some lines, and he found out it was the modem. Wasn't working. I don't know what happened, if it got fried or what. Connected the modem, then the router was no longer working, so I had to go buy a new router, got that. But, okay, so now, ever since I connected it, it's a Netgear R6700 router.
Okay.
And I did it through the app. That's the only way, I guess, you can connect it.
All right.
And it's working. But ever since that happened, the light on the modem, like where the power light is, it's Spectrum Internet. The one next to on the other side of the Ethernet is red. Well, I'm sorry, not red. It's like amber, like flashing amber.
Yeah.
And the light on the router, one of the lights, I think it's, I'm not sure which light it is. I tried to figure it out. It's, it's flashing red. But I have internet connection, so any ideas what that could be?
I'm checking now. Generally speaking,
there's usually the power light on the front, and then a light for that's labeled online.
If you're connected to the internet or not,
and if that's blinking blue and then light blue and blue, then you have to give Spectrum a call.
Yeah, that would indicate that you're not connected. What I'm guessing it is 100 megabit connection.
Oh.
So there are several different speeds of the wire, 10, 100, 1,000. Coming out of the back of it. And many boxes will have different colored lights depending on what speed your connection is.
So,
are we talking about the modem now?
Yes.
The modem and the router both can do it at each end.
So the modem has some lights out the front, but also has where the connection in the back is. Often will have lights where the cable going to your router is. And
there's
we'll have one on one side
yeah.
that's usually called a link light, and that one just means, we see that the device is plugged in and that there's something at the other end of the cable as well. And then the one that's blinking is usually the activity light, and that signifies that there's this information passing across the wire.
On the modem.
On the modem.
Yep.
Yeah, it's flashing amber.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay, so now the router.
The one that you said is a Netgear 6700?
Yeah, it's flashing red on, I think it's the...
Wait a minute. Shouldn't it be green?
Well, yeah, right. That's
which mine are all
we're,
turning.
We're checking here.
Usually on the back of the modem, it's always flashing green.
Do you know which Spectrum modem it is? Because everyone I'm finding is only supposed to be blue.
You're talking about in the front. I'm talking about in the back of it where the Ethernet's.
Oh, yeah, that's the standard Ethernet. Yeah, that's the Ethernet speed lights.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be amber. It should be green.
Amber is the activity.
Amber, one of them is activity, one of them speed.
Yeah.
So it may be indicating she's got a 100 megabit connection or a 1,000 megabit connection to the upstream router.
Yeah, because like on mine, it's one. If it's on the right hand side, it's for a certain speed down. If both of them are on green, it means it's like 1,000 or better.
When you use the app to set up your router, does it give you any details about your router's status?
Well, I did have a hard time setting it up because I already had a Netgear router and I just replaced it with the same model.
Ah, okay.
So I thought I could go into the app, and just like kind of pull everything up, pull it back in, call it the same Wi-Fi
address
and everything, but somehow that didn't work well. So, I kind of did a new setup and I don't know, then it found it and... I did have a hard time, but I did get it to work through the app.
Good.
But my problem is what I just explained, And it did say in the app that there's a connection problem. Yeah, but if there's a connection problem, why do I have a connection and why is everything working okay?
Yeah, I guess I would go back to the app and see what other information that app can provide about the connection problem.
Yeah.
We need some more clues.
It may be telling you with the amber light that it's only 100 megabit connection and not a gigabit connection, which should be green.
Well, no, I'm getting the 300.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting that.
All right.
So I don't understand. It's just weird to me. I thought you may have had a... Yeah.
I'll do some searching. You said it's the Netgear R6700?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do some quick searching on their manual online and see what I can find out. Keep listening, and I'll chime back in on the show here when I've got
Yeah, I looked at the manual, too, and, that's
red,
what it said. There's something.
Red's, yeah, red's not an option. It's amber, green, and white.
Right. Yeah, that means something's wrong with the connection.
You sure it's not a really deep amber that might look like red?
On the router?
Yeah.
No, it's red.
Okay, and which light is red? Remind me? Is it just a power light, maybe?
No, it's not the power light.
Okay.
It's the R6700. I was trying to find it on my phone because it's hard to see what it is on the router because it's so dark,
No, black plastic black labels.
It's the far right side of it, and it's second to last.
Okay, and that's on the top of the router?
Right on the top of the router.
The second to last one, you said.
Yeah. I can't tell you what that symbol is, but it's the second to last.
Okay. I will do some research and see what I can find out while the boys here will.
I shouldn't say it's flashing, it's actually blinking.
Okay.
Change the flash to a blink.
Got it.
You think the modem is okay.
As best I can tell, and especially if you're getting 300, it's probably fine. We just need to figure out what red means on that particular light.
Yeah, it's the thing in the back that says Internet. One side is the Ethernet. It says Ethernet. The other side, is the amber light flashing.
Got it.
It's green on one side, flashing amber on the other.
Yeah, that's why I think it means the Ethernet connection speed.
Yeah. Well, I'm investigating now, and I'll have some info soon.
So white is gigabit, amber is 100 megabit or 10 megabit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does that mean that's all I'm getting, or is that all I can get?
All you can get. So it'll give you 1,000 megabits between the modem and the router.
Which is fine, because you're only getting 300 into the house anyway.
Right.
So, okay, but you said 100 megabit, right?
Amber is 100. So you may need a different cable, a physical Ethernet cable, between the modem and the router. You want one with all 8 wires in the connector. You don't want one that only has 4 wires.
So you think the modem's only putting out 100 megabits?
No, I just think the wire between the two may only have 4 conductors in it instead of 8, or it may be damaged in some way, and it would be a cheap thing to try to put a different cable between them.
Yeah, I think this is a Cat 5E wire.
Okay.
It should have
that should be good enough for gig.
Yeah, it should be there.
Well, it's flashing.
Well, I'm continuing to look up the product manual here.
Yeah, I couldn't find my manual. Like, what the heck? Yeah, they don't they don't give you, you don't get a good manual when you buy stuff. You have to go online.
Go online and download the PDF, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what I'm looking for here. All right.
I just thought you may have known something off the top of your head.
Well, it can be tricky because different companies use different colors to represent different status, and it's all what the engineers decided to do when they were building it. And they don't always agree. And sometimes when you've learned it well for one group of routers, then a different one is going to be different.
Do you know if this is the AC1750 model?
Yes, that's what it is.
Okay.
All right. That helps. Thank you.
So let's do LED. LEDs on the top and the back. There we go.
Okay.
And
second one from the right.
There's too many.
Yeah, second one from the right. I'm not sure what that.
I'm looking for a graphic here that will spell them out.
Oh, it's 121 instances of the letters LED together. I don't need to know all of that. I want to know, how about LEDs? What do the LEDs stand for? LEDs on, there we go, page 14.
Okay.
So the last one is the WPS light, and that should not be on at all
right,
unless you have pushed the wireless.
That one we can safely ignore for now.
In fact, you shouldn't use WPS because it's not secure. The second to last one is Wi-Fi on or off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pressing this button turns Wi-Fi off. If the LED is solid white, the radio is on.
Okay.
If the LED is off, the radios are off.
Okay.
Well, they're all on.
No
okay.
other color is allowed.
All right.
And so maybe it's one of the Ethernet ports. So solid white or solid amber means it's connected. Blinking white means it's sending data. And white means gigabit Ethernet, and amber means 100 megabit Ethernet. So I would try replacing the cable between the modem and the router.
Give that a shot first.
See if that
it could
goes
be
white
just
again.
An old. You know, even, you know, taking it in and out, you could have broken one of the wires inside going into one of the connectors.
Yeah, and if you can find out or take a picture of it, that would help us too. Or if there's other details you can provide, that would help. But, yeah, I'm looking at the same thing, and they talk about amber, white, or solid green.
Yeah, it doesn't even have red in there.
Nothing about red.
Yeah, nothing about red, but it's definitely red.
Now, if you were an LED and you had red, green, and white, you'd need all three of those, or red and green and blue, you would need all three of those in order to make a white signal. Maybe the green and the blue is
damaged.
That
could be. Maybe the LED is malfunctioning.
Faulty?
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots
Try the cable and let us know,
And you said you recently got this. Maybe return it and get another one?
Yeah.
But then you got to set it up again.
Are you kidding? I just got it like a month or two ago. You're kidding.
Oh, too late.
Well,
yeah.
Might be.
All right. Well, try the cable and give us a buzz back.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. Yeah, it's tricky when we're trying, and hopefully we've got the right model. And
red is not an option in the manual. So something's happening that's not in the manual.
Yeah, that makes it tough for us, especially if we can't be there to see it. Or
it's hard doing it over the airways. All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to Gary from Rochester. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, got a question about USB-C cables. That was supposed to be the answer to the maiden's prayer for interconnectivity and things like that, for charging and whatnot. But there are multiple different functions, and I guess the Thunderbolt 3 cable is also the same as USB-C, and if you go to a store, you can find all kinds of different cables that have USB-C connectors on both ends. How do you tell the difference?
The problem is we're conflating two things. Thunderbolt and USB are protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Type-C is the connector. So so USB-C is not Thunderbolt-C. They're completely different technologies.
But in terms of cables,
the cable is the same. So on a Thunderbolt cable, there will be a little lightning bolt icon.
Mm-hmm.
And on a USB cable, there's a little trident icon. The problem with USB cables is there are different power wattage options. We've got some cables, especially on the Mac, there's a 60-watt cable, an 80-watt cable, and a 140-watt cable. So the cables that carry higher wattage, are a little thicker.
Different gauge.
They need different gauge wires in it. So it's basically up to the packaging to determine what the specification of the USB is. If you're just trying to connect a USB peripheral, it almost doesn't matter. But if you're connecting a powered device or a device that needs power, like a charging port, then typically the package will say charging port and tell you how many watts it's capable of handling.
Yeah. The other challenge is that many cables might come with your charger. You'd think, oh, well, I'll just unplug this from the charger and I'll use it to connect, you know, my scanner directly to my computer. And some of the charging cables are strictly charging cables. Mm-hmm. Only the pins for charging are connected.
And a lot of people like using a charging-only cable when they're in public.
Sure.
So there's no chance of any data passing from your device to wherever you plug it into.
Getting hacked.
Yep, it's true. But, I think the thing I see most often is that I have a whole bunch of charging cables, but then when I need to find one that will actually move some data.
A data cable, yeah.
I can't quite figure out which one is which.
So one of the problems is buying cheap cables online. You don't know often what the specifications of that cable are.
Or buying one from a gas station.
So while it is wonderful that you can not have to flip the same plug over three times in order to get it to connect to your computer, because they're externally symmetrical now, it's unfortunate that all of the differences are much more hidden in terms of the capability of the cable. And you're right, it is pretty frustrating.
And to add to the complexity... Thunderbolt is a superset of many different technologies. So Thunderbolt carries USB and FireWire and HDMI and VGA and DisplayPort and power. So Thunderbolt is a super cable that does everything. And that's one of the ways you can tell if it's a Thunderbolt cable, if it's expensive. We just had to get a 2-meter Thunderbolt cable for someone, and it was $130.
Yeah, no, silly.
Yeah, and a 2-meter USB cable is $20.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like it's a very deep and complicated topic, and I know you guys are running out of time. Maybe you can talk about it next week.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think one of the hopes is that by everybody using Type-C connectors, it would make things easier.
Right.
But because it's completely different protocols, it makes it harder.
It's clear as mud.
Yeah. It's like gasoline.
Exactly.
Gasoline and diesel have two different size nozzles.
Right.
So you theoretically can't put the wrong one in. But you can put the wrong one way, but not the other way.
Yeah, you can put regular into diesel.
And then ruin your diesel engine, yeah.
Well, thank you for calling. Yeah, I agree. It's something that we should go into more detail about.
So the short answer is make sure you read the package labeling good and
thoroughly
and it meets your requirements.
And figure out how to mark your cable so you know how to use what for what.
Yeah. Nice big red Sharpie on the ones that you care about.
This one's data, this one's power, this one's 60 watt, this one I've done that on ours. This one's 120 watts.
And maybe some pointers on the Soundbites forums page or wherever. That would be great.
I think
thank you guys.
Have a great one. Yeah, it reminds me of all the multimedia PC times when they'd have purple for the keyboard and green for the mouse and blue for the VGA connection for the monitor.
We had to label all the cables at our office because the 60, 87, 96, 140, all the cables were getting mixed up with the chargers.
Sure.
So you put a 100-watt charger on and it's only charging at 60 because this cable can only do 60.
Yeah,
so we had to mark them all.
And and they're definitely not labeled by the manufacturer, which makes life tricky.
And on the Mac, if you go into your system information under power, it will tell you how much power your AC adapter and cable are currently putting out.
Oh, good tip.
Not necessarily what it can put out, but what it's currently putting out.
Okay. That music tells us, as Nick would say, you've wasted another 2 hours. But hey, don't worry. There's always more sound bites coming at you. So, always stay tuned here at Jazz 90.1 every Saturday from 12 to 2 where we answer your computer questions. It's been a fun Saturday. Thank you for all the folks that took the time to give us a call, and hopefully we got to all the answers. I want to thank Steve Ray and Chris for coming in.
Dennis.
I don't know why.
Well, we both
because Chris
hair.
Was going to come in before. So,
but we thank him anyway. He's a good
guy. Hey, we covered all the questions, so hey, stay tuned and have fun, and see you later.